This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Matt Moore is our buddy. He's now with the Action Network. He used to be with us at CBS. And now he's having fun because he's allowed to talk and freely gamble without getting in trouble. How you been, Matt?
Doing well, man. How are you?
How's the gig?
Going great, man. We're doing lots of cool stuff over here.
Good for you. So let me ask you, I want to start out with the Sixers. 1-7 against the other contenders in the East. They can't beat anybody. They just lost to the Celtics, who were allegedly crumbling going into the game, and they were going under. That was a huge win for Boston tonight, a bad loss for the Sixers. And then afterwards, Embiid said the refs, Pharrell, and suck, and he's going to get a nasty fine for that.
Yeah, he's had problems with this team throughout the matchup. Like, he just cannot seem to figure out Al Horford. I thought he would do better tonight with Aaron Baines being out, but, you know, he had a bunch of points, but it wasn't on efficient shooting. The Celtics really give him problems with how physical they are and how they time their doubles. There's clearly a foul on Al Horford on that one of the late plays in the game where that was a foul. And so I understand why Embiid was pissed, but you know, part of the issue is just he has a lot of issues with this stuff. Like, he just has a lot of problems with the Celtics team. And until they figure out how to get Embiid past that team, they're not going to be able to beat the Celtics.
You know, everybody says that they have the best, in the East lineup now. An all-star, five of them, at least four of them all-stars, maybe five, that they're the best, roster besides the Warriors now in the NBA. Are you buying all of that?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think also it's like, you know, raw talent isn't as important now. I think it's about how you play. Like, do you play together? Denver's won a ton of games with not nearly as much talent because they play together. I think that's what it's about. And you also need to have versatility and the ability to switch up matchups. And that's something that, honestly, Philly didn't have as much of before the trade, and they got more of it, and that's what's helped them. But I don't think it's about talent. I think it's about being able to find the right matchups. And that's why I think tonight's got to be frustrating for them, because no Kyrie Irving, they still weren't able to find the matchups that would get them to win.
So Matt Moore with his Action Network. I was on in Milwaukee today, and they were talking about the Bucks with me. How good is this team? And it's more than just Giannis. There's, you know, Middleton and Brogdon and a lot of guys, Bledsoe. These guys are all a big piece of this pie that they got going with the Bucks.
Yeah, the Bucks. I mean, they're really good. And we're at that point now in the season where, you know, we got to start asking. For a while, it was, all right, nice regular season team, okay. All right, they're off to a good start. We'll see if they can hold it. Well, now we're at the point where, well, they're not just beating teams. They're beating the pants off of everybody. And we got to start asking, are we not giving them enough credit? Are we overlooking them because they don't have the quote-unquote experience when, you know, you look at it, this Celtics team isn't the same one that went to the Eastern Conference Final 2 years ago. They went last year, but they're entirely different with Kyrie Irving. We know the chemistry is all messed up there. The Raptors have had playoff issues. They're a different team, but they're still, this core is still unproven. So the question is, like, why not Milwaukee? Why would we not believe that Milwaukee can pull this off with Giannis playing the way he is, with how Mike Budenholzer has spaced the floor? They are great on defense, which nobody talks about. They're one of the best defensive units in the NBA. This Bucks team, I think, is legit, and to me, they're the best value to come out of the East.
Matt Moore with us. The Raptors now with Gasol, are they better for sure than they were before that trade?
They looked really good last night. We'll see if that continues. I was a little bit skeptical going in after they made the trade just because he's very different from all the other stuff that they've run this year and last year. His strengths are finding cutters and making great passes, and that's not how this team has operated. They have one of the lowest rates of getting points off of cuts in the league, so I didn't know where he was going to make them better. I still have some concerns about in a playoff matchup because, look, I've been a Marc Gasol guy for years. I know his game real well. He's not the same dude he was when he won Defensive Player of the Year. He's a little slower, and that's going to be a problem versus Brook Lopez, who can spread the floor from really deep, and Al Horford, who can pick and pop in the same way. You know, I think we're going to have to see in the playoffs if Gasol can still contain. He has looked really good, but I think the jury's still out.
So, what do you think of how bad the Knicks are? They're a league worst 10-46. They dropped their 30th game in 32 outings when they lost to the Cavs the other night. They play Philly tomorrow night at the Garden. They'll get their ass beat in that game, too. You know it. I know it. It's so obvious that they're tanking. If you ask me, they play this game like, you know, it's just a loss, and we're not worried about losses. We're gonna, you know, we're getting better. We're not looking at the scoreboard and all this other nonsense Fizdale's trying to sell people. He's full of it. They're full of it. And the bottom line is they are absolutely atrocious. I've never seen anything like how obvious it is that they're throwing games.
Well, part of it also is like they were playing, you know, all right, let's get the young guys experience. Let's get Alonzo Trier and Kevin Knox minutes and see if we can figure out the point guard rotation with Frank Ntilikina and Emmanuel Mudiay. And we'll try and figure stuff out. And then when Porzingis comes back, maybe we can win a few games at the end of the year. Like, we could have a little bit of momentum. And now, like, that's completely out the door. Both Ntilikina and Mudiay don't look like long-term solutions. I think Knox has been – I think there are flashes of what Knox can be. I think Knox is going to be a good player. I like Trier a lot. But, you know, overall, like, this team is not playing for anything. And everyone knows it because everything's about this summer. Everything is about this summer. And the Knicks have all of their eggs in one basket yet again. Now, maybe they don't. Maybe they don't have it, because if they wind up with the worst – with the best lottery odds, with the worst record, and they get Zion, well, that either helps you get AD or you got Zion Williamson. So maybe they don't have all their eggs in the free agency basket, but in the meantime, it is just painful watching this team. That it looked like this team was trying to build towards something, and now we're back to what the Knicks have always done, which is trying to cut corners to get back into contention.
You know, Matt Moore with this Action Network on the Bench on CBS Sports Radio. You know, back in the day when the Knicks got Ewing, everybody said that the that it was rigged. And do you believe that it was? And do you think that it'll be rigged again so that the Knicks finally get a pick worthy like Zion Williamson? Do you think they're going to get him?
I don't think it was rigged, because I think it's just there's too much risk involved with something like that. If it were to get conclusively found out, there's too much damage to it. I always think, what's the risk-reward ratio for these kind of things? And how can you keep that a secret as conclusively as you'd need to? Maybe that's naive, but I tend to think that that's not how it went down. This one, I don't know, because I think there are a lot of storylines with how this can go. Also, bear in mind, you know, if the Knicks get Zion Williamson, that increases their ability to trade for Anthony Davis, and that hurts the Lakers. Does the league want the Knicks to be good, or do they want the Lakers to be great? So if you're going to go down that road, there's a whole bunch of complicated scenarios. In the end, I think we're going to probably see him wind up in Atlanta or Phoenix or somewhere else that's probably going to squander his early career, and we're going to wind up with him in the same situation Anthony Davis is in now.
Why would they prefer letting the Lakers be great as opposed to the Knicks, who've been for 20 years like the worst team in the league?
Well, it's a debate, right? Like, which would you rather? And the answer is the league wants both of them to be good. The league wants both of them to be great teams. They want the playoffs to be both.
So you let them get Zion, and you let them win the lottery. Let's say hypothetically they win it, and then they do whatever they want. They could trade for AD and give the Pelicans that pick, or I mean, the Lakers already have LeBron James, and they botched the Davis deal. So they already have LeBron, and they already have a loaded team with talent with Ingram and Kuzma. You can't deny that. I don't think they don't need anything compared to what the Knicks need. The Lakers are just fine, thank you. It's the Knicks that are a disaster.
Oh, I agree with you on that. But I think that problem is going to go no matter what roster you put there. I think ownership is always going to determine how bad the Knicks are. Plus, I would not be – the Lakers lost to the Hawks tonight, my friend. I would not be so sure about how great this Lakers team is.
Well, I know that. I started the show with how embarrassing that loss is. You cannot lose to the Atlanta Hawks, but I bet the Knicks will lose to them this week, and that's all there is to it. And they certainly have more exciting players in Trae Young than anyone on the Knicks. I don't care what anybody says. That, you know, Dennis Smith Jr., they're you know, raking him now like he's some kind of hero. They didn't even want him in Dallas. So I think they should be very careful about how great Dennis Smith Jr. is, because he can dunk. I think that's ridiculous. So you're watching the Warriors, and you see this whole Kevin Durant thing play out. I have a question for you. The guy was, the media sucks, grow up, leave me alone, I just want to play ball and stay out of my life. And then, you know, less than 5 days later, he's on Good Morning America and ESPN all morning sucking up to the media so that they'll promote his boardroom show. Which is it? Does he hate us, or does he have to manipulate us and use us to benefit?
I think it's definitely the latter, and I think it was all part of it. I think he went out and pulled that whole stunt, you know, to increase his whole visibility, and then followed up with all the stuff on ESPN. My whole thing is, I don't care if Kevin Durant wants to talk to media or not, as long as he doesn't have to answer the questions well. He could be like, no comment, no comment, no comment. He's got to be available per the league's rules, as far as the contract he signed and the agreement that the league has in terms of its policies. After that, he can answer however he wants. My whole thing is just, I don't understand the need to be lecturing people, especially when you're going to go out and have this entire boardroom thing on ESPN with, oh, by the way, new offices where? In New York City. Like, how does he not know what's going to happen? He skipped out on media for 9 days the moment the Knicks traded Kristaps Porzingis to clear cap space. Like, what does he think is going to happen? The answer is he knows exactly what was going to happen. He planned it that way. It's all about manipulation of the system, and it's definitely apparent that KD has learned how to pull that trick.
Do you think anyone can beat that team at all, or are we just wasting our time and that they're going to win another championship?
I've gone back and forth on it. Usually, like the last 3 years, I've been like, no, nobody's beating them. Nobody's beating them. You know, when the Cavs came back and won in 2016, I was waiting for game eight. That's how I felt. Like, they have to win all these games. But I think this year's team is great. I think Cousins gives them something. But the chemistry is really tenuous. And we saw last year a team that was able to switch effectively with great defense and could grind down in Houston, pushed them to the brink, and should have won that series. OKC's got a chance at that. OKC has that model. I don't see anybody else outside of maybe if the Bucks can go in with their offense. To me, it's the Bucks and the Thunder are the only two teams I feel like can actually give the Warriors a run, and then you're just hoping that something crazy tilts it and for it to be really competitive.
How crazy? Do you think they'll win tomorrow night as well in Portland when they go up to the Moda, the Warriors?
I do. I think Portland's – I mean, it's the last game for All-Star break, so there's always a chance that they just completely take off for that one. But Portland's been pretty rough versus good teams. They're 500 versus the West. They haven't been playing good ball for the last 2 months or so. There's every reason to think that Golden State's going to take care of business.
All right, I got 30 seconds. What's better, Harden's streak or Westbrook's streak?
I like how Paul George is playing on both ends of the floor is my answer on that one. If I got to choose between them – to me, it's Westbrook's consistency. I think the fact that Harden's doing this while averaging 8 assists, that's more impressive. But the scoring, he's got all this usage. He's got all the opportunities. I know he can shoot. Westbrook being able to keep this streak up and be able to put that much production in night after night, and he's making Paul George a better player, that to me is more impressive.
It is. I'll give you that. Matt, great stuff. Say hi to Chad Millman, and keep rocking at Action Network. Thanks for coming on the bench.
Will do, man. Take care.
All right. Matt Moore on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.